trumpets call. So lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel. The dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes. Riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, so lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet's call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Amen. And I know one day, I believe it, that he's going to come back in a trumpet voice. And he's going to call us home, man. I can't wait for that day. Amen. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. Remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all of your people sing along. Remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. And reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I see your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. Amen. His grace is enough for us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this fine group of people that have come here today, Lord. We've come here today solely to worship you. We've came here to set aside all the things of this world, all the burdens and all the cares, all the stuff that goes along in our life. Lord, we just want to set all that stuff aside and just take this time to worship you. Lord, I thank you again for all the blessings. I thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, and I just want to worship you right now. Lord, I just want to worship you. Lord, I just thank you. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for sinners did show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen. He loves you this morning. You know that? Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the presence, let's worship this morning, of Jehovah. God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. You are holy. You are holy. King of kings and Lord of lords. You are holy. You are holy. Yes, you are, Lord. You are holy. Just lift your hands up this morning. You are holy. Oh, God. In the presence, amen, of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish. Hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Amen. Praise His holy name. As you come here this morning, as you're sitting here, just if there's burdens on your heart, if there's things you're going through that you don't understand, just give them to Him this morning. Just let those troubles vanish and let your heart be mended to those things. He can do that. Just give it to Him this morning. Amen. Just praise His name. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good, isn't He? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Like a what? My mind's blank. What? Thinking one. What? Say something. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with thy soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has risen.
guarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Good. That's good. Amen. I hope it's well with your soul now. Amen. Amen. Whoa. Amen. Thank you, everyone. I'm so glad that these guys come and volunteer their morning to help in the praise and worship. Thank you all for coming and being here this morning. And being means a lot to me, means a lot to the church. Got a nice breeze this morning. Hey, if the kids had come forward real quick, I got a lesson for you guys this morning. Well, it's good to see you guys again. You guys have a good week? Are you excited?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Abraham in the Bible? Who's heard of Abraham? Nobody? You have? Okay, I know somebody's heard of Abraham. Well, Abraham had a son named Isaac. Did you know that? Who's heard of Isaac? You've heard of Isaac? Well, then Isaac had two sons named Esau and Jacob. Have you heard of Jacob? You've heard of Jacob, right? Well, Jacob and Esau, they were brothers, and they didn't much get along because Jacob was always lying and always trying to trick his brother, and he was always doing stuff like that. He was not a very good brother. You guys don't know anything about that, right? That's good. You're good to your brothers and sisters, right? That's good. And Jacob wasn't very nice. And so one day, you know, Esau had a good relationship with his father, Isaac. And his father was going to give him the blessing to become leader. You know what that means? Because when you got the blessing, then that means you become leader. And when Isaac got old, he wanted to bless Esau. Well, Jacob heard about this. And Jacob, he went and he put on, see, Esau loved to go hunting. Anybody like to go like hunting and fishing and stuff? Well, Esau loved to do that. And his dad said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you the blessing, but I want you to go prepare a meal for me that, you know, the one that I like that you fix, the one with all the different meats in it and all that. He said, I love that. And he said, whenever you make that meal for me, he said, I'll bless you. Well, Jacob overheard this, and he said, well, I got to do something. And so he went and he put on the same clothes that Esau liked to wear, because Esau always wanted to wear these animal skins. He probably looked like a caveman. You know what a caveman looks like? He was rough looking, you know. And so Jacob went and put his clothes on, and his dad was really old, Isaac. And Isaac was old and he was blind and he couldn't see. And so Jacob snuck in and acted like Esau. And he told his dad, he brought him some food, and he told him that he was Esau. And then what did Isaac do? What do you think Isaac did? He didn't know, and he blessed Jacob instead of Esau. Yeah. Well, then when Esau got back and heard about it and then told Dad about it, they were, what do you think? You think they were a little bit mad? You think he was a little bit upset with his brother, that his brother had lied to him and lied to Dad and deceived him? Yeah. So you know what Jacob did? Jacob got really scared and he ran away. We don't run away, right, when we get scared? Don't do that. I'm not saying, okay. But Jacob did that because he was an older guy. I mean, he wasn't a young kid. Like, he wasn't your age, okay? So he ran away because he was afraid that Esau would get back at him and his dad. They were really mad. And so he ran away, and he went way far away, and he met a family over there, and he lived with them and worked for them. And he stayed away for a very long time. And after a long period of time, he had actually worked, and he got a wife. Yeah. And he got all kinds of possessions and stuff after he'd worked, but he felt terrible about what he had did to his family. And he wanted to go home and apologize. And on his way back home, he decided, but he was still afraid what was going to happen, because he thought, you know what he really thought? He thought when Esau saw him, that Esau would just kill him. That's how scared he was. He really thought Esau was just going to just kill him. And so what he did is he had all of his possessions and his animals and his wife with him, and they got to this river so when they got to the river, he sent all of his animals and his wife across the river. He sent everybody else across the river, but he stayed back because he was still afraid. But while he was there, he got all alone at night, and all of a sudden, this guy appears, and they start wrestling with each other. Can you imagine that? Somebody come out of just boom, there he is, and all of a sudden, Jacob was wrestling with this guy. And he didn't know who it was, but he just kept wrestling. He kept fighting, and this guy just kept wrestling with him. And finally, this guy's like, man, I'm not winning this battle. And so he hits Jacob on the hip and causes his hip to come out of joint. And so, you know, Jacob's hurting, his hips are hurting, but he just keeps on wrestling. He just keeps on wrestling. And then this guy asked him, he said, what is your name? And Jacob said, my name's Jacob. God said, or this man said, I get ahead of myself. This man said, well, your name's not Jacob anymore. It's going to be Israel. Israel. And Jacob said, who are you? And the man said, why do you ask me who I am? Jacob said, well, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the man blessed him. But you know who that was? That was God that came down and wrestled with Jacob and gave Jacob a blessing. And after that, Jacob went across the river. And when he saw his brother and his brother saw him, you know what happened? What do you think happened? The angels protected Jacob. The angels were with him. God was with him. And Esau saw him, and he forgave him. They hugged each other. That's kind of weird, right? You hug your sister and your brother. You do? You do, don't you? Because you love them? You always love them? You always get along with them? You never fight with your brother or sister, do you? Never? Never? Ever? Ever? But they made up, right? And that's the story. God came down and wrestled with Jacob. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Right? So that's the story. And they made up, and then it was a great relationship after that. All right? I think Lottie's got a paper for you guys to, a little worksheet, a little craft for you to do while we're doing church. All right? Well, that's the story I have for you. Is that a good story? All right. Oh, man. Kind of hard to explain sometimes to kids about things, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to explain to us adults. Sometimes we don't get it. But a great story in the book of Genesis, chapter 32. And if you have your Bibles this morning or your Bible apps, you can turn with me to Genesis 32, 22 through 32. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Again, I thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. You have blessed us so much. And so, Lord, let us learn from your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Here we find in Genesis 32, it says, "But during the night, Jacob got up and sent his two wives, two concubines, and 11 sons across the Jabbok River. And after they were on the other side, he sent over all his possessions. And this left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until dawn. And when the man saw that he could not win the match, he struck Jacob's hip and knocked it out of joint at the socket. And then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is dawn.' But Jacob panted, and he says, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' 'What is your name?' then the man asked. He replied, 'Jacob.' 'Your name will no longer be Jacob,' the man told him. 'It is now Israel, because you have struggled with both God and men and have won.' 'What is your name?' Jacob asked. 'And why do you ask?' the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there." Man, can you imagine wrestling with God? Can you imagine that? And then here we find God appearing. He appeared in flesh and wrestled with God. And, you know, Jacob named the place Peniel. And in our history, Dr. Brzee, which was the founder of the Nazarene Church, he was at the Peniel Mission in Los Angeles, California. And he served there for quite some time. But the word Peniel means the face of God. For he said, when Jacob said, "I've named this place Peniel, because..." For he said, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been spared." And the sun rose as he left Peniel, and he went limping because of his hip. And that is why even today the people of Israel don't eat meat from near the hip in memory of what happened that night. Isn't that something? And the passage here talks about him wrestling with a man, yet it is God he's wrestling with. And this speaks of the appearance of God in the form of a man. And it was actually the pre-incarnate Son of God. He wrestled with God, the Son himself. Jacob wrestled with God, and this was a life-changing event. And from this time on, Jacob was never the same again. He had a new walk, and soon a new name and a new character. And I'm telling you, that's what happens when you meet God face to face. You have a new walk. You have a new character. Things are not the same as they used to be. Amen. You know, God wrestled with God, and this was a life-changing event from this time on. I love it. Jacob was never the same. You know, but before that happened, Jacob had to do something. He had to do some stuff first. And how many times, before things can happen in our lives, sometimes we have to get rid of stuff before we can actually have a face-to-face with God. You know, before God can come into our lives, we have to do some stuff first. And that means we have to give up stuff, just like Jacob did. Jacob needed to face his past, first of all. He had to face his past. And Jacob had to face... His past had been one of trickery and deceit. In his early life, he had sown a lot of deceit. He had tricked his brother Esau out of his father's blessing. You know, and Jacob's name, the name itself, it means trickster, is what it means. A supplanter and deceiver. In those days, of course, names meant so much. Names meant so much, more than they do today. We don't really think of that. But names were often expressions of a person's character. They were a constant reminder to the person's family, to his friends, of the type of person that he was. Whenever Jacob's mother called out his name, she was making a statement about her son. Whenever Esau thought with hatred of his brother, who had stolen his birthright and his blessing, and then ran away for his life, he thought of him not only by the name of a deceiver, but it also showed his character of who he was. How many of us know that if we sow deceit, that we'll reap deceit as well? That's who he was. You know, in that faraway country, he fell in love with Rachel, one of Laban's two daughters, and the arrangement that he had worked for 7 years, and then married Rachel. But Laban tricked him for substituting less pretty daughter. Her name was Leah, and Jacob only found out after the wedding night, and the marriage had been consummated. But then he had to work another 7 years. Pretty crazy story. I want to tell you young people that it's a good idea to check out that person you're marrying. Make sure that he's the right one. Jacob didn't do that. He was deceived and had to wait another 7 years in order to marry Rachel. But eventually Jacob decided that he was to go back, and so he leaves Laban and takes his two wives, his family, and all his possession, and heads back towards the promised land and back to Esau, whom he had cheated. You know, if something is stopping you from being what God wants you to be, then you have to come back to the right place to deal with it. You hear me this morning? Often when things have gone wrong, when dreams and visions have not been fulfilled, when sin has entered the picture, or fear, or just general complacency, when character has been tainted or hurt has been crippled. You know, it's a lot of times we get crippled by hurtful things in our life, and we often have to go back to where that trouble started to deal with it, and then deal with it before God. You know, Elijah, when we look at the story of Elijah, he had to do that. And remember, if you remember the story, the great victory that he had on Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah defeated. He prayed for the rain, and it came. And Ahab took off for Jezreel, and Elijah was supernaturally empowered and ran ahead of the chariots all the way. That's a crazy story. But God gave him the strength to do that. Jezebel swears to kill Elijah, and fear grips Elijah, and he flees. And next thing we find him hiding in a cave, depressed and suicidal. And you think, how could this be? He just witnessed this great miracle. He's had supernatural things happen to him. And here you find him hiding in a cave, depressed and suicidal. Fear drove him to it. Fear held him in the cave. And then God spoke to him. And you know what God told him to do? Go back the way you came. We've got to go back sometimes to make amends. We've got to go back. And sometimes we need to go back to where we came so we can go in the direction that God wants us to go. We have to go back. Sometimes we go down the wrong path. And we can keep going down that path, or we can turn around and go back and then go down the right path. And that's what we have to do. We have to go back to that place and make the right decision to go down the path that God wants us to. You know, maybe some of you have been badly hurt or even abused, or maybe you have sinned and are still carrying that sin in your life. Or a habit that you have that you're having trouble breaking. Whatever it is, God says, go back the way you came. Travel those roads again by bringing the light of the Holy Spirit into the sins of the past that you have kept secret. The hurts and the rejections, the abuse, the fears and disappointments. He says, go back and let the Holy Spirit take care of it. Let the Holy Spirit take care of it. Let God guide you. Let me tell you, if you've got the courage to wrestle with God over these issues until their effect is broken, until victory is achieved. You know, the old saying was, you prayed through. The old saints used to say, you stay until you pray through. You got to pray through. And it's just like what I'm talking about this morning. Jacob wrestled until the dawn came. He stuck it out. He wrestled. He prayed through until he got the blessing that he was looking for. And I remember right in here in this church house, I remember I had to come back. I was raised in church, and many of you know that. But I had to come back to a place. I had to come back to a place in my life. And it was right in here, in this church. I had to get down before God, and I had to stay there until this God came and opened up the windows. I had to stay there and pray until forgiveness was given. Let me tell you, no matter where you've been, sometimes we have to go back to that place. It doesn't have to be in the church. It doesn't have to be at that altar. Sometimes it has to be where you're at. Jacob was out in the middle of the wilderness at the riverbank, and God showed up to him there. Sometimes we got to get alone with God. And if you're willing to face these things, God will not let you face these things alone. God will not let you face the past alone. With Jacob, when he made the decision to go back and face the issues with his brother, we read in Genesis 32, as Jacob and his household started on their way again, angels of God came to meet him. And when Jacob saw them, he exclaimed, "This is God's camp." So he named the place Mahanaim. The Hebrew word for this word is to meet or to have met. And in some translations, it's paga or paga, which is a meeting of great significance or an encounter of great purpose. And we have to have, just like I talked about, I had an encounter of great purpose in my life when I finally accepted what was going on in my life, and I needed to come back to where I started so that God could do with me what He wanted me to do. Unfortunately, Jacob didn't see the great significance of why angels came. The angels came to comfort him and protect him from his brother Esau, and he was going back to comfort his past or confront his past. Jacob knew that they were there for his protection. Too many times we can miss the significance of God's dealings in our life, maybe through fear like Jacob, but maybe it's through sin, or maybe just by being careless or being complacent, or maybe even the lack of prayer or discernment to know what God is doing in our lives. God is doing something in the body of Christ all over the world. And He's also doing it in this church right here. And don't let God's dealings go by you. Don't miss out on them. You are not here by accident. Each and every one of you are not here by accident. None of us are. There are spirits sent from God to care for those who will receive salvation. Don't miss their significance. They are here to protect you through the whole life-changing, and for some, even character-changing experiences. When God comes into your life, your character changes. You're not the same person you used to be. You're the person that God wants you to be. So instead of seeing God's protection, he is still, Jacob here, back to Jacob, he is still scared to death of Esau. So he makes a plan. He selects choice goats, camels, and donkeys, and oxen, and he was still trying to win his brother over by diplomacy, by sending presents to appease his brother, like he had done all of his life. And these habits were ingrown into him, his very being and character. You know, some people would say that, and I would say this, it seemed like Jacob was insane. Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I know that I've had my moments of insanity. I was doing, you know, before I got saved, I'd do the same thing over and over again, and I'd always expect a different result. Amen? Come on. I know I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that's been insane. My wife tells me maybe I still have a little insanity in me. But we all have those moments. Amen? We all have those moments in our life But nothing could change him. Nothing but a face-to-face encounter with God. Nothing can change you unless you have a face-to-face encounter with God. And God can change you. I tell you, there's nothing in this world you can do. There's no pill. There's no drink. There's no amount of possessions that you can buy. There's no amount of relationships that you can have. There's nothing else in this world that can take the place of a face-to-face encounter with God. Nothing. When you have an encounter with God, everything changes. And before that can happen here, we go back to Jacob. You see, Jacob couldn't do it by his planning or diplomacy. What God had in mind was too big for Jacob, and a nation is about to be brought into existence through this man. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you being called to be a new nation? Wow. Before that could happen, the old Jacob had to die, not physically, but spiritually. And what we are about to witness here is the death of the trickster and the deceiver and the birth of a prince. Amen. Come on. You know, sometimes Paul, you know, when Paul said, you have to die to self, you have to get rid of the old man. This is what he was talking about. This is what Jacob had to do. Jacob had to die. Jacob came to the place now, finally, that he had to empty himself out. And after making his preparations to meet Esau the next day, in verse 22 and 24, but during the night, Jacob got up and sent his two wives, two concubines, and 11 sons across the Jabbok River. And after they were on the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came over to rescue or to wrestle with him until dawn. Now, the scriptures tell us, reveal to us some crazy things sometimes. And the word, the river Jabbok, the Jabbok River, Jabbok, the word, means pouring out. It means emptying. And he sent his wives and his family away. He sent everything away. Verse 24 says that he was alone. He was emptying. You see, Jacob realized that his human abilities were not enough. His legendary, I call them legendary skills of diplomacy were not going to win the day. His riches could not take him some, his riches wouldn't do it. He couldn't go far enough. All those things that he had to let go of. They could not do anything for him anymore. Jacob had to come to a place of self-emptying, a place called Jabbok, where every human resource is given up so that God can replace them with his resources. Hey man, come on. Jacob emptied his hands and he gave up trying to wing it all. Have you ever just winged it? I've tried doing that. I've tried just winging it. Sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. He gave up trying to pretend, and now he was ready for a face-to-face encounter with God. And you know, I know many Christians, myself included, who try to wing it at times. I've tried to do that in my life many times, just to wing it. As a pastor, I will say, I admit, there's been times that I've tried to wing it. But let me tell you something. Unless the anointing of God is on you, winging it won't do it. You can't just wing it in life. You have to have the anointing of God on you. And that takes emptying yourself out in preparation. It takes giving so that you can have an experience with God Almighty. Too many of us use our brains and our talents to get us through rather than the anointing that is upon our lives and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm telling you, without the Holy Spirit, we can't get by. We can't get by. Many people are not walking in the power of the Spirit. They walk in the power of the flesh, and the flesh will fail you every time. We have to walk in the power. That's what it means to live a holiness life. Simple as that. The command, many people are, there's a command in Ephesians 5:18. The command is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 5:18 says, or it reads this, instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Who knows you can't fill something that is already full? You see, to be filled, this involves a self-emptying. And how can you be filled with the Spirit if you're filled with self? If you're filled with yourself and your flesh and your self-efforts? You can't be full of two things. You can only be full of one thing. You're either full of the Spirit or full of something else. I know a lot of people that are full of something else. Amen. It's hard to deal with people that are full of something else, isn't it? God doesn't want to deal with people who are full of something else either. And I ask you this morning, what are you filled with? Think about that. What are you filled with? It's a time right now this morning to die to these things of the flesh. It's time to seek a genuine encounter with God. We've got to seek it. We've got to wrestle with it. Through the emptying of himself, Jacob, we get back. Can you imagine what Jacob, what he went through to empty himself of all the things of his life, all the deceit, the tricks that he had learned to help him cope and get ahead in life? It means he had to give up all sense of human security. So many people are going through those same things today in their life. And this morning, we just need to give it up. We just need to give it up and seek God. Seek that moment, that face-to-face moment, that peniel moment, that place of peniel, that place where we can see God face-to-face. Amen. Finally, Jacob was alone with God. And in verse 24, we find that Jacob was alone with God in most of our victories. Let me tell you, most of our victories are achieved by being alone with God. That's why it is important not just to schedule things, but just to make it part of your life to get alone with God. We have to get alone with Him. Yet even in a crowd like this morning, you can be alone with God. You can wrestle in your heart, and many of you are today. There's things going on in your life that you can't cope with anymore, that you're struggling with. And I'm just saying this morning, give it to God. Get alone with Him. I would like to talk about a couple of things. Jacob was not more powerful than God. We think, well, he wrestled with God. Why didn't God just... He's all powerful. Jacob wasn't more powerful than God. But yet through wrestling with God, Jacob came into a place where God would not withhold his blessing. His prayers had power with God. And I want that too. But it took his persistence. Just like in the New Testament with the parable about the lady that went to the judge. And she kept going to the judge and kept going to the judge and kept going to the judge until finally the judge said, okay, I'll give you what you want. Sometimes we just have to keep praying. Keep praying. Keep wrestling with those things that are going on in our life until God blesses us. Jesus said, the things that I do, you will do greater things than these. That can and will be only a reality as we learn to wrestle with God in prayer. Second thing is, the whole experience left Jacob marked for life. You cannot come away from a face-to-face encounter with God and not be marked. You remember Moses when he came off the mountain, his face, people couldn't even look at him. His face was different. It was glowing. People couldn't even look at it. He was marked. Jacob walked different from that moment on. And let me tell you, when you have a face-to-face encounter with God, you'll walk differently. You'll act differently. In some ways, from that moment on, Jacob was almost more valuable than a man with two strong legs. I thought of that. But in other ways, he was stronger than ever before. I tell you that if you come face to face with God, it may leave you more vulnerable. All pretenses will be stripped away, but you will never be stronger in your life than you've ever been before. Jacob was left with a limp for the rest of his life. Verse 28 says, your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. It is now Israel, because you have struggled with both God and men and have won. No longer a trickster, but have wrestled with God and prevailed, and one who has power with God, a prince of God. You know, something incredible happened here. Not only is Jacob walking different on the outside, but there has been a deep and changing thing that happened on the inside. And the whole direction of his life is now changing, and no longer was he the same man that he used to be. And this became a lifestyle after that for him. There was only one more time in the Bible where it says that he slipped up in any way and he tried to tackle things on his own. And we read that in Genesis 35, 9 and 10, where God reaffirms his promise and blessing upon his life, though. And God appeared to Jacob once again when he arrived at Bethel after traveling from Paddan Aram. God blessed him and said, your name is no longer Jacob. You will now be called Israel. Then God said, I am God Almighty. God told him who he was. Multiply and fill the earth. Become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I will pass on to you the land I gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants. You know, things had to change. And he was no longer dependent upon himself, but on God and on his promises. And the changes were life-changing. And in Hebrews 11:21 says, it was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. He carried that limp. He needed a staff from then on to walk. He was still marked, still using his staff because of his limp. And as a result of his encounter with God, he has blessed Joseph's sons. His thought would have been, all is possible because I dared to go face to face with God. The changes were life-changing to him. And now he was ready for his destiny to become a father and a great nation. Man, I got to ask you this morning, are you ready for an encounter with God, to an encounter with great purpose for your life? Are you ready for that today? Are you ready for that now? All you have to do is be willing to wrestle with God. Empty yourself out of all that stuff in your life that you know that's holding you back. The fear. Whatever it is. The habits. Whatever it is. The depression. Whatever it is. The abuse. Whatever it is that has happened in your life that's keeping you from a relationship with Jesus. Keeping you from a relationship, having that face-to-face moment with God. I'm asking you to just give it up right now. It's up to you. It's not up to me. I can preach here all day long, but it's not up to me. You have to make that decision yourself, just like Jacob did. It wasn't up to Esau. It wasn't up to Isaac. It was up to Jacob to make that decision. So this morning, as we're sitting here today, just search your hearts. If you're ready for that moment, there's no better time than now. Because I'm telling you, there may not be a tomorrow. There may not be an hour from now. We don't know. Things happen. Crazy things happen. Hurtful things happen. 1 minute we're walking, and the next minute we're down. It happens. Just like that. So I'm saying, if you have not had a face-to-face moment with God, now's the time to do it. Just open up your heart. Just let Him remove all that stuff in your life that's holding you back. Let Him bless you like He blessed Jacob. And He'll make you a new nation. He'll make you a new person. He'll make you walk differently than you've ever walked before. But it will be walking in the right direction. Amen. Let's pray, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, I just pray if anyone's here this morning that hasn't met You face to face, Lord, that, Lord, they're willing to just make that step this morning. Lord, it won't be easy. They have to empty themselves. Just like we all have to do every day. Paul says, I die daily. That means he had to empty himself daily. He had to give up daily of himself to take on all of You. Lord, let us walk in Your way. Lord, I search for that. I seek for that encounter. Lord, I ask for that encounter with You, face to face, alone. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you all. Hey, thank you all. Amen. I say again, if there's anybody here this morning that needs prayer, just come forward. Come on right up here and we'll pray. Amen. Come on.